for the Word of God written, the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which have informed, instructed, comforted, and guided your church through the ages. We ask nothing new in this moment, but only that you would speak to us. Oh Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us afresh, enliven in us the gifts of faith and hope and love, so that as we listen to your word read and proclaimed, we may have the grace to hear you speaking a word of life into our lives. We are grateful to you this day, and we ask you to hear us and help us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 63, and I shortened it a little bit. We'll read the first 8 verses. Listen to God's word. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. The word of the Lord. Thanks be unto God. Well, Thanksgiving Day is almost here, not too much longer to wait. As I'm sure you're very aware, Thanksgiving is a part of our national heritage. It recalls, but also celebrates, the first Thanksgiving, the Pilgrims and Native Americans. You will recall from your American history that the colonists almost starved to death that first winter, but with the help of their Native American neighbors, they were able to reap an abundant harvest, and so Thanksgiving was a result of that. They gathered to give thanks to God for all of his many blessings and benefits. But Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Day, and what we're about this afternoon, not only looks to the past, it does, it recalls our heritage, but it also gives thanks for things in the present. So not just looking to the past, but also to the present. We have an awful lot to be thankful for, don't we? When you really stop to pause and think about it, there's so much to be thankful for. We can give thanks for life itself. We take it for granted, but it really is a precious gift from God's hand. We can give thanks for the measure of health and strength that we each enjoy today. We're all growing older. That's no secret. And age, of course, brings with it certain limitations and difficulties. But still, we have life and breath and strength to be here today, to sit in the sanctuary as communities of faith and as neighbors, and to give thanks to the Lord for the numerous blessings and benefits which God has freely given. Not only do we give thanks for life, health, and strength, but we give thanks for our families. And in our observance of the holiday, family really is central, isn't it, to the celebration. We give thanks for husbands and wives, for children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and our extended families as well. Our nuclear families, our extended families, really are precious to us. And so it is right that we give thanks. We also call to remembrance our friends. Think of the people who have been with you in this life through thick and thin, people who have shaped you, who have encouraged you and helped you along the way. They are also a cause for thanksgiving. Our churches are certainly a cause for thanksgiving, aren't they? We support and strengthen and encourage each other along life's journey, which is sometimes fraught with problems and difficulties. Our fellow believers and our pastors help us when we go through the veil of tears, as the psalm says. But it's not just in the hard times that we're a blessing to each other. It's also in the good times, times like today, when we gather for worship. We might also mention, finally, our citizenship in the United States of America. That certainly is a cause for thanksgiving. The Bill of Rights affords us freedoms which are the envy of many, many nations around the world. The freedom of speech, the freedom to assemble, the freedom of the press, the freedom of religion, these are exceedingly precious gifts which we should not take for granted. But you know what? There's something better than any of these things, better than our national history, better than our life, better than health and strength, whatever measure we have, better than our families and friends, better than our churches, and even better than our citizenship in this great country. And the psalmist gives voice to this in verse 3. He says, "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." Or as King James puts it, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." That's a remarkable affirmation of faith, really, if you think about it. Why is that true? How could it be true? Isn't life itself the greatest good of all? Well, stop and think about it for a minute. As unpleasant as it may be to think about it, our earthly lives will eventually end. Our health and our strength will diminish over the years. Our families are usually a source of great joy, but I think you know from experience that they can also be a cause for great sorrow. I don't know if you've ever heard of Walter Brueggemann. He's a rather renowned Old Testament scholar, at least in Presbyterian circles. But he has famously said that family is the place of grace and disgrace. So both. And even our churches have a lifespan too, don't they? We certainly are privileged to be citizens of this great country. But think about the polarization that we're living through in the current moment. It's a source of consternation for me, and I would guess it's probably a source of consternation for you too. It seems to me, at least, that we are becoming balkanized, divided into groups, left and right, Democrat and Republican, gay and straight, rich and poor, black and white, climate change believers and climate change deniers, Trump supporters and Trump haters, mainstream media consumers and conservative media consumers. We're being sorted out, I think, into tribes, if you will, and a house divided itself cannot long stand strong, at least. Now, all of these things that I've listed are certainly causes for deep gratitude, our heritage, our family, our rights. But all of those things are subject to change, aren't they? None of them are static and certain. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. In fact, they are new every morning. Indeed, great is God's faithfulness towards us. God is for us in Jesus Christ. We know God's covenant faithfulness in the new covenant that God created with us through the death and resurrection of his Son. Jesus said of his sacrifice, "This is my body that is for you." And he said, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is for you." A new covenant established by God. So, because of what the Lord has done for us in Jesus Christ, we are assured that God's steadfast love will be unchanging towards us. As Paul says, nothing will have the power to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As one commentator has observed, this is the center that holds. That steadfast love of God, there's a single Hebrew word behind our English phrase. It's the word hesed. It's translated variously as covenant faithfulness, loving kindness, or steadfast love. This life that we know is marked by change and division and struggle and chaos, not all the time, but frequently. But God's steadfast love endures forever. If you have God's favor, God's hesed, if you have that, you have the most precious possession of all, because it transcends everything else. Everything else will pass away eventually, but God's steadfast love never ends. Brothers and sisters, I would say to you in closing that as you gather with friends and family to give thanks for all of the good things of this life, for your heritage, your families, your friends, your churches, your freedoms, don't forget to give thanks to God for his steadfast love, which is ours in Jesus Christ. It really is true that God's loving kindness is better than life itself. There's nothing better than that. God's favor is the most precious thing that a human being can have. So, to borrow the language of the psalm, feast on God's covenant faithfulness to you. Your soul will be satisfied with a rich feast. You will find help under the shadow of God's wings. So bless the Lord as long as you live, and use your joyful lips to praise God for all that he has done for you. Lift up your hands and call upon the name of the Lord through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for his steadfast love, which is ours forever and ever. Amen.